it is then to be actual poverty, and not merely, to use that other, poverty of spirit. Oh, I'm detached. As I gorge myself, or as I relax in a soft divan with a cool air conditioner and with a mint julep sipping as well, I live my life of poverty. Friend of mine, an army man who came to know Padre Pio, the American forces liberated that part of Italy where Padre Pio's monastery was located. For 2 years, he told me, he would talk to Padre Pio. And he was told, I'm quoting my friend, Padre Pio told him, the worst sin in the world today is hypocrisy. Amen, Padre Pio. Amen. The church's careful identification of consecrated poverty as both actual poverty and poverty in spirit is crucial. How do the two, shall we call them properties, differ? How are they related? Poverty of spirit is expressed in the first beatitude. Blessed are the poor of spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. To be poor in spirit means to be poor interiorly. Even though a person may be actually wealthy. A year ago, I gave a 30-day retreat to a multimillionaire. I have in my files a 7-page fax retreat election. When we meet, he tells me, Father, there's one thing that keeps bothering me from that retreat that I made. What's that? You said how hard it is for rich people to get to heaven. I said, Tom, keep that in mind. He just dispossessed himself of a $23 million island in northern Michigan. When you talk to rich people, tell them, either you share your wealth wisely, or you won't get to heaven. Poverty of spirit means to be interiorly detached, meaning interiorly free from inordinate love, listen, even for things you don't have. Can poor people, actually poor people, not practice poverty of spirit? You better believe it. For those who possess, it means not to be jealous not to hold on to be ready to give, ready to share. For those who do not possess, it means to not envy those who have. I began reading Karl Marx from the age of 14. I think I told you this. Much too soon. But I've learned the two passions that Marxian communism has been promoting since the middle of the 19th century are anger and envy. Well, that's not all. Our consecrated poverty is not only poverty of spirit. It is poverty in reality, actual poverty. And this is the key to consecrated poverty. It assumes that a person either already possesses things or has a right to possess, but voluntarily gives up, not only interiorly, but exteriorly. Not only interiorly, but actually. Christ, as we read from Matthew's Gospel, could not have been clearer. If, yet the conditional, if you wish to be perfect. Another translation I like. If you wish to go the whole way, then go and sell what you have and give the money not to your relatives, but to the poor. And then, only then, the then is in the revealed text, then come, follow me. What Matthew then adds is very important. The adversity of but, underlined in my notes. But, he says, the young man heard these words and went away sad because he was a man of great wealth. Actual poverty is objective poverty. Actual poverty is real poverty. Actual poverty is external poverty, sensibly perceptible poverty. Physical poverty, and not only psychological poverty. They go on. Strange words. The church tells us consecrated poverty is sober. What on earth does the word sober mean? It means that our poverty as religious is to be controlled, even tempered, well balanced, temperate in action and thought, sedate, and not, but strange words, intoxicated. Poverty is a means to an end. It is not an end in itself. I'm sure you've all at least heard, if not read about, Benedict Joseph Labre. Remember? The man who, well, hagiography tells us, in some 20 years, was never known to take a bath. Had a hard time finding a confessor. Our poverty is to be sober, balanced. And how I like, I'm not sure I've quoted it already, but if I have, I'll repeat it. That poverty and religious institute is what God wants it to be when it corresponds to the purpose for which that institute was founded. We go on. The church tells us consecrated poverty is industrious. Religious are to be hardworking. They are not to be living lives of leisure. Poor people work. We are to work. Christ was a laborer. Christ, we are told, became tired. We are to exhaust ourselves in working and thereby witness to the dignity of labor to others. And the work, as we know, is not only physical manual work. To pray as we should means work. I'll never forget the retreat I was to give to a community of nursing sisters in Jasper, Indiana. First conference, 5:30 a.m. Sisters had to somehow both make the retreat, keep as much silence as they could, and remain on duty. 11 sisters in the community. Oh, duly assembled in chapel. By the time the 5:30 meditation was over, the only one who was still awake was a superior. She's going to give a good example. You know and I know to make your divine office and really pray to be faithful to your duties. You and yours and I and mine means effort. And listen, we are all, hear it, we are all naturally lazy. All of us, all of us. I know of no one who is more lazy than the speaker. Assume you're lazy and go on from there. Consecrated poverty, we're told, is a stranger to earthly riches. This refers to individuals and to communities. It is not enough for individual villages to practice poverty. The community should also give evidence of avoiding, that's the word, avoiding even the appearance of wealth. How very hard to do this in a wealthy country like ours. You're being watched. You're being seen. And let me tell you, They are fooling no one. No one. Either we are, both individually and collectively as communities, strangers to poverty, or we're not. We go on. Consecrated poverty is dependent. Dependence on whom? Dependence on the community to furnish. Dependence on superiors to provide. Dependence on whom? Dependence on other members of the community to share. Dependence on whom? Dependence on persons outside the community to donate. Christ, remind ourselves, Christ lived on what shall we call them? On alms. In my going on 22 years and working for the Holy See, I have not once, I don't see God $1 from the Vatican. Not even one lire. What's the present exchange? Around 1,000 or so lire to a dollar? That would be 1/10 of 1 cent for my travel. I have to beg. Except the last time that I went, earlier this month, the one from whom I begged said, Father, could I come with you? I'm not drawing on my imagination. We must re-examine our poverty, I repeat, as both individuals and as communities, if we expect Christ to give us the grace we need to not just, well, call ourselves religious, but be the channels of grace that religious in God's providence are meant to be. The Church tells us consecrated poverty means limitations. This means limitations in what we use and how we dispose of anything, since we are to look on everything as not our own. Ooh. What a mindset to develop. We go on. We're told by the Church, each institute has its own norms for the practice of poverty. No two religious communities, orders, congregations are exactly the same in their interpretation of the limitations in the use and disposition of material goods. But all must prescribe limitations. One provision of the Second Vatican Council needs to be emphasized. The Council leaves open and obviously encourages religious to not only as all congregations, now for almost 500 years, religious congregations, took vows of poverty and required at least dependence in the use of material possessions, but allowed the relatives, as I'm sure you know, to remain in possession. The Second Vatican Council, you'll go down, is one of the great councils of the Catholic Church. Here's one reason. It encouraged all religious institutes, even those not under solemn vows, to encourage, and if they want to, even to legislate dispossession of all material possessions, and the religious pronounce their final vows. Just one word about the practice of our poverty. Poverty, as with chastity, begins in the mind. In a mind that has been enlightened by faith, a mind that believes the infinite God became a finite man and as man, from the moment of his conception, talk about poverty, helpless in his mother's womb, born in a stable. When he first spoke to his fellow Nazarenes, remember, they couldn't believe what he was saying. But this is the son of Joseph, the carpenter. God wants us, as religious, to believe that we are only as authentically Christ-like as we are authentically poor. I have just a short prayer. Lord Jesus, you are our God. And you became man in order to teach us how you love those who, like you, become poor in spirit, poor in reality, out of love for you. But, dear Jesus, by now you know us and you probe us. You know how hard it is for us to not only profess poverty, but to live it. Detach us, dear Jesus, from the wealth that surrounds us, that the air we breathe, so that living in poverty here on earth, we might share in your own infinite wealth in the world to come. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among men, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us sinners,
in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.